Good morning. Would you take out your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. We'll read verse 23 as our first verse this morning. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 is where we'll begin here in just a second. In 1999, when I was a freshman in high school, there was a popular song that was basically a commencement address set to music. It began this way: "Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one piece of advice for the future, sunscreen would be it." Well, that's probably pretty good practical advice. But this morning, I'm going to offer some different kind of advice to the class of 2018. I've asked the elders and their wives to offer our graduates advice of a spiritual nature. And my question to these spiritual leaders was this: if they could only offer you, graduates, one piece of spiritual advice for the future, what would it be? And so this lesson is really not my material, it's theirs. It is my arrangement of their responses and the scriptures that they referenced as they want to send you on your way in life. Now, we think about sunscreen. The interesting thing about sunscreen is that it kind of applies to most of us, that we need to wear sunscreen. And so too with the spiritual advice given to these graduates. Maybe you graduated in 2018. Maybe you will graduate in 2028. Maybe you graduated in 1958. Maybe. But whatever time you graduated, may I suggest that it applies to all of us who are seeking to serve God, these biblical truths from God's Word. So, ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2008, and for our group, Anna and Tori, and Kaysen and Cole and Cade, there he is, may I suggest a few things for you to think about. Number one, everything starts with the heart. Are you there in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23? "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Our heart controls what kind of life we lead, and it's going to control what kind of life you lead. Based upon that, everything starts with the heart. And everything else comes from the heart. The metaphor that is being used here in the book of Proverbs is a spring of water that flows out into a stream. In a dry land, that source of life has to be protected. And in the context of the ancient Near East, most of that was a dry part of the country. And so this idea of keeping that spring safe and protected and pure is very, very important. And so too with the heart, for all of us, but especially for you young people, guard your heart. Watch after it. Prepare it. Keep it with all diligence. Because if your heart is corrupted, so is everything else. And if everything else can only be pure, if the heart is pure as well. And so, guard your heart. Keep your heart. Based on these instructions, being sure your heart is right is where you have to start in your service to God. Like David said in Psalm 51 and verse 10, "You need to ask God to create in me a clean heart, O God." Well, that's a conditional thing, isn't it? He asked God to create that heart in him, and we have to ask God for it as well, and then do our part to seek to make it so. And so, from a practical standpoint, may I suggest that you study the instructions of what to do to your heart. Seek in the Bible what He says, this is what you need to do to make your heart what it ought to be. And then go out and do those things, what God has said in that regard. Everything starts with the heart. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2008, life is about choices. 2018, I'm only 10 years off. Life is about choices. So consider the spiritual, the truly important things in life in your choices. Take time to consider the eternal consequences as well as the current consequences to your actions. Think about how your decision, whatever it might be, will affect your life and how it will affect your soul. Always keep God first in your life. As Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, seek first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what you're seeking. To be a part of His kingdom. To have His righteousness in your life. And all of these things, he says, all of these physical things that we so often worry about, all of these things will be added to you. By whom? By God. Because you're focusing on what's most important. And when making your way through life, never forget what things are truly important. What things will matter in the end. As Matthew chapter 6:16 and verse 26 says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Keep those thoughts in front of your mind and in front of your heart, in front of your eyes as you make your decisions in life. And as part of that, consider your influence on others as well. Considering your influence is in many ways equally important. And how will your decisions make a difference in the lives of those that you love and seek to influence? Make many a decision made in haste has shattered lives and shattered hearts. But many a wise decision made prayerfully with wise consideration of what the Bible says has changed hearts and changed lives for the better. From a practical standpoint, may we encourage you to choose the better over the okay. When faced with a choice where there is not a right and wrong per se, but instead there is an okay and a better, choose the better, choose the best, and you will never regret it. Don't get caught in that trap that the world wants you to get caught in, that the devil wants you to get caught in of, well, this isn't wrong, so I'm going to go ahead and do it, even though there's something better that I could be doing. Something more influential, something more holy, something better for your growth, something that's better for your brethren, something that you could be doing, but instead you choose to do the minimum. Don't get caught in that trap. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, if you would. I like the way the Apostle Paul puts it. Philippians chapter 1. Beginning there in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Paul says you're doing well. You're doing a good job. But you can do even better. Let it abound more and more as you get the knowledge that you need to get, as you get the discernment of what love really looks like. Let that grow. Let that get better. That you may approve the things that are excellent, he says. Not the things that are okay, not the things that are mediocre, the things that are excellent. Those things you might do. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And there is no greater praise to God than living holy, faithful, productive lives in His service. You know, I feel personally, so let me step aside from the elders and their wives to Reagan for just a second here. I feel very strongly that we cannot be satisfied with being merely good when God has called us to be great and has given us the ability to do so. And that's incriminating to myself every time I think about that. I cannot settle for just being good if God has given me the ability to be something more than that. I need to make better choices starting right now. And we all need to be making better choices starting right now, because time waits for no one, even the youngest among us. So let us resolve to put off the weakness and doubt and faithfulness, faith, and lack of faithfulness of yesterday, and become the spiritually mature people that God wants us to be. To be leaders and shining lights, reflecting God's character and glory to a lost and dying world. That's your choice if you want to be that, if you want to do that. God has given you the ability. talking to the graduates of 2018, you have that ability to do great things in God's kingdom. But you have to make the choice that that's what's important to you. My grandfather, the months of May and June always make me think about him because he passed away in May and then Madison was born that same June. You know that he had a big impact on my life, but one thing, one piece of advice that he always gave, not just to others but to himself. In fact, he wrote it on a card and folded it up and put it in his wallet as a reminder. He would say, "Always let spirituality have the upper hand, and you will never go wrong." When you go to make choices on anything, school or jobs or who you're going to marry, if you put all of that together and you make godly choices, you will have a good life. It doesn't mean that you won't have complications in life. It doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to you and that there will be sorrows. There will be. But you're going to have a good life even with all of those negative things. A life that is watched over by the Creator of the universe. And that is your choice. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2018, search God's Word for the answers of life. As you seniors go forth and live in other places of the world, you will encounter many different things and be introduced to many other spiritual thoughts and ideas, some of which will be very different from that which you have heard at Timberland or from your parents. And these men and women of faith who look after you, who care for you deeply, they challenge you to be noble like the Bereans and search the Scriptures to determine in any question of doctrine or matter of life, what the Scriptures say on the matter. They encourage you to search God's Word because the answers are there. They are there for the taking. Turn to Psalm 119, if you would. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 105. The psalmist says to God, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And he goes on to describe here in this particular section through verse 112. He suggests that there is counsel from God for every difficulty that we might face in life. There is guidance from God for every perplexity that we might consider. There is comfort from God for every trouble that we might have in our life. So search God's Word because the answers are here and it will direct your paths. It will light your way as to what you need to know and what you need to do. So get knowledge. Get knowledge, as one of the elders said. Know these things that are true, that are right from God's Word. And with that knowledge, get wisdom. Understand what those things mean. Understand what those things are about and how those things might be applied so that you might get understanding. As Proverbs, the 4th chapter and verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding." You know, as you go through your life, if you're blessed with life from here on, you're going to be doing a lot of getting. Your life is going to be filled with getting. You get this degree. You get into this program. You get this car. You get this job. You get this house. You get this life. But in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And all of that comes from God. Look to Him. Ask Him. Let Him help you to make those decisions about everything. Because He is the source of all wisdom. So ask God for that wisdom. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Again, these are some of the Scriptures that were referenced to my question. In James chapter 1, and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives. We talk about getting wisdom. God gives wisdom. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Well, what is wisdom? We might define godly wisdom as the ability to see life and its consequences from God's point of view. How does that happen? Well, we have to go to the Bible. And we see what God's point of view is, right? And then we turn to life and we see life from God's perspective. We see the consequences of my deeds from God's point of view. How does this affect me in eternity? And if we get that kind of knowledge and we get that kind of wisdom, then we will have understanding as to what I need to do in life, what decision I need to make, where I need to go from this. And you have to have faith in the asking for that wisdom. As he continues there in verses 6 through 8, James does, as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, "But let him ask in faith. Ask God for wisdom in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Graduates, here we sit. Do you really believe all this? Do you really believe all this? If you want to have the wisdom from God that He can provide, ask Him in faith. Seek His answers in faith. And if you really do believe all this, then it only makes sense to follow God's direction. I was teaching a Bible class with a group of young people not too long ago, and I was talking about something that's just kind of obvious, and finally one of them just blurted out, "That's just common sense," kind of frustrated with me. And so I pointed at him and I said, "You're exactly right. It's just common sense. It's common sense that if there is a God out there who created everything, who is all-knowing and all-powerful, who loves us more than we love ourselves, who knows us better than we know ourselves, who cares about us and wants the best for us, and He's given us the instructions to live life, it's just common sense to follow those instructions." I know the phrase is out of the mouths of babes, but out of the mouths of teenagers. It's just common sense. Well, apply that. Apply that to your life in faith. And if you do, you will keep God's commandments and not turn to the left nor to the right. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2018, you have to put God above man. You have to follow God and not man, if you really want the answers to life, and if you really want the good life that God can provide for you. Turn to the book of Psalms, particularly the first psalm, Psalm 1. As this book begins, in many ways these verses are an introduction to this book. And in some ways, a summation of what life is really all about. Verse 1 of Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Now there's a progression there, I believe, this idea of, okay, you're walking with somebody, there's not a lot of fellowship there. Maybe it's just a casual thing. But then you stop and you stand and you continue to discuss. And then what do? You sit down in the seat of the scornful. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a place perhaps you didn't intend to be. Verse 2, "But his delight, the blessed man, the man who's approved by God, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Graduates, other Christians, never let peer pressure or popular opinion determine your actions. Now that sounds silly, but you will have lots of occasions where you will be tempted to put people before God. Again, it's just common sense to put God before people, but so often that's not what we do. We do just the opposite. You will be tempted, at some point to put a friend or roommate above God. You will be tempted to put a boyfriend or girlfriend above God. You will be tempted to put your boss and his demands above the demands of God. You will be tempted to put your spouse above God, or even your future kids, if you're so blessed, above God. But there is only one first place in everyone's heart. And so make the first place in your heart God. And if you do, then you will be a leader for what is right, not a follower for what is wrong. As 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth. Don't let anybody look down upon you because you're young, but instead be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We need young people who will take the things on that list, word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Take those things and resolve to be leaders in those areas. And the five of our graduates, you can do that. You can be that. But that means that you need to choose your friends wisely. As 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean that you withdraw from the world. It does mean that we need to have an influence on the world instead of being influenced by the world. And if we find ourselves in the situation where we are being devoted to friends who are actively undermining our faith and thinking that everything is going to be okay, it means that we are being deceived. He warns us, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We are deceived into putting man above God. But our viewpoint, our attitude, our outlook must constantly and consistently be God comes first. And anything and everything else has to come after that. Number five. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2018, be fully committed to Christ. Love God with all that you are. Jesus said in Mark 12 and verse 30, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's all I've got. All I've got to give. And I'm going to love God with all of it. Jesus says this is the first commandment. Why is it first? Because it is the basis and motivation for all the other commandments. If we get that heart that we talked about in point one, that is wholly and totally devoted to God because we love Him with all that we are, then we will be a person after God's own heart, fully and totally committed to Him and His cause and His ways and expanding His kingdom. We quote that, be a person after God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. But I want us to turn to Acts chapter 13 and read that. Because the interesting thing to us, practically, is that we have a definition of what that exactly means. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. This is in the midst of one of Paul's sermons. He says that, and when he, God, removed him, that is Saul. So think back to the Old Testament and the time of the kings, and Saul, the first king, is removed by God. He raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. What does a man after God's own heart, a person after God's own heart mean? Well, he explains it. Who will do all my will? If you're fully committed to Christ, if your heart is devoted to Him, you are pursuing the things of God first and only. You want to know what's in God's heart so that you can put it in yours. And your will is to do God's will. And all aspects of your life, remain faithful to the Lord. And one of the admonitions that you've been given by these older people who love you They suggest make an oath even today that you will follow the righteous laws of the Lord. And that's not necessarily something of a formal nature, but in your mind and in your heart, you say, I'm going to be making my own decisions here pretty soon. And when I do, I'm going to follow God no matter what. I decide that now. Not when the moment comes, not when the temptation comes, not when the choice arrives. It is decided now. And I am merely acting out what I've already decided. Go back to Psalm 119, that same context there. Look at verse 105, and we'll continue reading through verse 106 this time. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. Your word directs me. It directs my life. It directs my paths. And I've sworn in my own mind, in my own heart, what I'm going to do is keep your righteous judgments. No matter what, no matter what the consequences might be, that's what I'm going to do. One final passage. Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2018, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Redeem the time. God willing, you have so much time, and yet it's going to go just like that. So redeem that time. Put it to the right use. Put it to use in God's service. Do what He would have you to do. This is life that He describes here. But may I suggest, as I look at you guys, you're ready for that life. Now go out and be who we all know that you can be in service to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2018, sure, wear sunscreen or don't wear sunscreen. Maybe you should wear sunscreen, but absolutely determine in your heart that you're going to guard your heart, that you're going to make godly choices, that you're going to search God's Word for the answers to life, that you're going to put God above man, and that you're going to be fully committed to Christ. That's pretty good advice. And if you have the strength of will and courage, if you have the love for God and the submission to His will, put those things into practice. God will bless you, and we will be blessed. The world will be blessed by the things that you're going to do and continue to do in God's kingdom. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, our Father in heaven, we love this group of young people so much. We love these graduates. We pray, Father, that You would be with them, that You would strengthen them, that You would bless them, and that they might do what You would have them to do above all else. We remember Your promises even as we have read this morning that if we desire wisdom, we should ask of You. And so we ask, Father, on behalf of these people and on behalf of ourselves as well, that You would give us the wisdom to know and see what is right, the understanding to make right application to those things on a practical level, and that we might have the courage to do what is right when we see what is right, knowing that Though temptations and trials and difficulties will come into our life, you are faithful and just to give us a way of escape, and that when we do fall and fall short, faithful and just to forgive us those things. We pray, Father, as we walk through these doors here in just a little while, into the rest of our lives, however long or short that might be, that in all things we might seek You, seek Your will, and someday when we pass from this life, we might hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." We thank You for Christ. We know that hope is not possible without Him, without His sacrifice. And because we have put Christ on in baptism and have that relationship with Him, we know that He is our mediator between us and You. And it is through Him, in His name, that we pray these things. Amen. Well, I want to thank the elders and their wives for the sermon this morning. That's good advice. Advice we all need to hear. And if we, this morning, can help you in doing any of that and implementing any of that, even something as fundamental as coming to be and have a right relationship with Christ as it's been laid out in the Scriptures, there's nothing that would give us more joy than to be able to help you in doing that. If you're subject to the gospel call this morning, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?